In the hollow of his hand, I'm safely sheltered, and I'm dreading not the angry winds that blow. For the eye that watches over me, he never ever slumbers, and he guides my footsteps everywhere I go. In the hollow of his hand, in the hollow of his hand, I'm not to fear on ocean or on land. For wherever I may roam, he will guide me safely home. He keeps me in the hollow of his hand. In the hollow of his hand, what a peaceful refuge. There the weary and the heavy laden find a sweet, sweet rest. In the secret place that I know, all my troubles are forgotten. As a child when folded to his mother's breast, yes. In the hollow, in the hollow of his hand, I'm not to fear on ocean or on land. For wherever I may roam, he will guide me safely home. He keeps me in the hollow of his hand. And in the hollow of his hand, know that I'll remain forever, for no power can pluck me from my Father's hand. Though I fall asleep in him, when I know he'll awaken me just inside of heaven's golden borderland. Yes, he will. In the hollow, in the hollow of his hand, I'm not to fear on ocean nor on land. For wherever I may roam, he will guide me keeps me in the hollow of his hand.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 22nd day of May, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Be the Light. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note that I did not say Yiddish. Hebrew is our language. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Cymru am Byth. And our website is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do draw your attention on that website to the Daily Mail page because that's where we list current events, health information, other types of prepper type information, etc. There are also other pages there. We recently revised the website, so we've taken some things out of it, mostly because it did not appear that people were using it anyway, and to make it more compact and easier to manage. The home page on the website, of course, is where you find information on how to support us if that's your desire. And if you wish to contact me, there is a Contact Us page there as well. And again, we do welcome all of our cousins across the world, many lands, many different languages. So praise Yahweh that we have this platform that we can use. Now again, be the light. Why did we pick that for today? Well, you're going to see as we talk about some of the crazy things that are going on right now. Our verse for this morning is going to be Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brothers, were called for freedom. And let us remember, in the Greek texts, this word brothers is adelphos, meaning from the womb, meaning racial kin. So when today's mainstream churchianity, liars and deceivers, say that Christianity is for everybody, that's just not true. Really, it's not. In fact, hundreds of years ago, Christianity was called the white man's burden. Okay? The white man's burden, not the burden of everybody else, but the white man, the white race. So for you, brothers, we're called for freedom. Only do not use your freedom for gain to the flesh, but through love be servants to one another. Do you see this attribute amongst the white people today very much? I don't know about you, but I don't see it a whole lot. So we have fear porn everywhere. If you tune into any kind of mainstream, of course, you're just inundated with propaganda. But even in the alternative media, we find that we are just being bombarded on a daily basis. And I'm pretty strong. I've been following this stuff for decades. And it's overwhelming to me. So I can imagine it's quite overwhelming to the rest of you as well. And so you have to detach yourself from it from time to time and just turn it off. That's when you go to your prayer closet or your quiet space and communicate with our Father above. Now, the enemy wants to constantly bombard us with electromagnetic waves to interfere with us. He's trying to calcify our pineal gland through the poisonous foods that are out there, the poisons in the water, the air, because he's trying to shut down that form of communication. But if you are a true believer in our Father above, if you are following his law, and again, today we find lawlessness everywhere, but if you're a law keeper and you're keeping your temples clean then your antenna, which is the pineal gland, will be functioning properly and your communication with the command post on high will still be there. The enemy hates that, of course. They would love to jam that if they could. And that's another reason for this massive amount of propaganda, both from the positive and negative side, that you're being bombarded with. It's to overload your system. So you need to step back from it once in a while. Communicate with each other. And again, be the light. We're in a world full of darkness right now. And darkness in scripture is a reference to ignorance. And not just ignorance of things in general, but in particular, ignorance of our Creator Father and His law. This is the reason that we are in a state of confusion. Because remember, Mystery Babylon, mystery only means that it was not easily seen to the average person. It wasn't that it was hidden completely. It's just you got to do a little searching for it. So Mystery Babylon, and again, the Greek word Babylon comes from the Hebrew Babel or Babel, which means confusion caused by admixture. So the words tell us a lot. So both Babel and Babylon are confusion. They represent confusion caused by admixture. And what is admixture? The bringing together of things that do not belong. In other words, man's law versus God's law. Scripture, particularly the Apostle Peter, said very clearly that if it's a choice between man's law and God's law, you must choose God's law. Even William Blackstone, the greatest jurist to ever exist, and his commentaries have been studied for a long time in the jural societies, etc. William Blackstone said, any law created by any legislator or any king or potentate that goes counter to God's law is no law at all. It's as simple as that, folks. Just because a group of miscreants and cretins get together in Washington or any other capital and create something on paper and you believe you need to follow it, that is sorcery. Okay? You are being deceived by the same type of deception that got our great ancestors, Adam, the white man that shows blood in the face, Adam and his Eve, created from him. They were both deceived by Nakash. That's not a snake on the ground, it's a snake in shoe leather. And we're being deceived by that same type of information or sorcery today, to where you're told that because a group of legislators get together and create some document, that somehow you're obliged to obey it. That is bullshit. This is why the paradigm shift when our men and women in uniform went from peace officers to law enforcement. Do you remember when that happened? I do. It was back in the 70s and 80s when the sorcerers started getting you used to calling them law enforcement. And the people wearing the uniform were conditioned to believe that they were law enforcers rather than peace officers or police. You see, a peace officer's duties are quite different than a law enforcement individual. When I was a boy, you never saw policemen. I grew up on a farm just outside of town, and I don't remember seeing a police car in our county ever outside of the county capital. I don't remember once seeing a police car. Because they were peace officers, and unless you were disturbing the peace, you didn't see them. That was the only time they had, quote, jurisdiction, is if you were disturbing the peace of the community. Do you see the difference? Now they are law enforcement, and because we have so many laws, you are just constantly being intruded upon by these people in uniform. And the people in uniform are caught in the middle. They think they're doing their job, but really they're being lied to as well. And so this lawlessness that's spoken of in Scripture, and we're going to read a bunch of it, this lawlessness it's talking about is God's law. It is not the violation of man's law. I'm going to challenge you today in the fact that not one of you is going to spend the next 24 hours on this earth without breaking some sort of a statute, regulation, or, quote, law that's on the books. They've written so many of them, there's virtually nobody that can go through a 24-hour period without breaking something they've put in writing. That's why our Heavenly Father said, it's my law that matters. My laws are simple. They're based on common sense, nature, and God's, the God of nature, Yahweh himself. Okay. Very simplistic, very commonsensical. They fit. They do no harm. They're non-invasive, etc. Now, the enemy hates that because, again, I'm going to read some quotes here later on. Because the Jews, and yes, they are the culprits behind all of this, whether you want to believe it or not, the Jews want to create a world of their own which is completely counter to Yahshua, Yahweh. That's why they're called antichrists in Scripture. This is why the Arian Christ, yes, he was an Arian, he was not a Jew. The Arian Christ denounced them for the devils that they are. Remember, Diablos is where we get the word devil, and Diablos means adversary. Who is the adversary to peace and prosperity on the earth, to mankind getting along with each other? Who are the adversaries constantly promoting war and the tension between races and the tension between sexes and the tension between age groups? You can find a Jewish face, name, or money behind every single act. And our Arian Messiah told the people 2,000 years this, and these Jews hated him to the point where they orchestrated a fake charge and then a fake phony trial. Does that sound familiar? You people out there that have brushed up against the communist takeover of the world? Yes. Once you get their ire, they will drum up and charge you with all kinds of nonsense because they know they control the courts, the lawyers, the prosecutors, the law enforcement people, and the military and the government. Yes, they do. They control them all. Why? Because if you control the money, you control everything associated with the money, and since everybody gets a paycheck, they control everybody. The only exception to that is the man and woman who loves the Father above, who has committed themselves to being a child of the living God. That is the only hope you have to overcome this mind-numbing delusion that the world is walking around in. Hallelujah, there are many people waking up and realizing that that's where we're at. That's the good news, the gospel. That's the good news. The kingdom of our Father is in us, the sons and daughters who live as his ambassadors, as his representatives, as the light in this world of darkness. You see, you who live today are here for a purpose. You are the light to the people walking in the darkness. So those who wish to come out of that ignorance and darkness are going to be looking at you. All the more reason why every son and daughter of the Most High today must stand tall, must have a stiff backbone, and not be ashamed of the true teachings of Scripture, which are not what is being taught in these whitewashed sepulchers called churches today. It's not being taught by these prostitutes called preachers, priests, and ministers today. They are liars. They are deceivers. If we have time, we're going to go into a lot of what is going on and see how it relates to Obadiah. But in case we don't get there, write these down. You need to be very familiar with these three sections of your scripture. Obadiah, which is only one chapter, so Obadiah verse 18, which talks about the extermination of these creatures that are deceiving the whole world. This is also talked about by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 25 at verse 14. And they are mentioned specifically. People say, well, Dan, how do you get that? Well, because the Jews themselves say they are the modern-day equivalent to Edom-Esau, which Edom-Esau, by the way, refers to the color red. Why do you think liberalism, communism, and the devil are always in red? It's not just because they have shed so much innocent blood. It is because it goes back to their great ancestors, Esau, Edom. And the color red is always associated with the wicked. Communism picked the color red for that reason. It's a Jewish creation. Rothschild, red shield, get it? Rothschild, that's German for red shield or red banner or a red sign. They're telling you, if you have any intuition at all working, it's much like at the pharmacy. What color are the letters of the pharmacy? Which comes from pharmakia, drugs used in sorcery and black magic. Most of your pharmaceutical companies and pharmacies are owned by these creatures called Jews. Just telling you the way it is, whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. So Obadiah verse 18, Ezekiel 25:14, and then to top it off, you would want to go to Malachi chapter 4, because the inference there is also that the wicked, which these people and those who follow after them, chasing their money, because that's how they use, that's the power they use to create followers and lapdogs that will do their bidding, they will all come to an end, an extermination. And people say, well, Dan, how do you know that the scripture's true? How do you really know that? Well, because if, hold on a minute. I had a little pause. Looks like a little pause in the stream here. Ella says, Jeremiah 24:2, the bad figs versus the good figs. Yes, that's another reference too. If there was a small glitch in the broadcast here, I had a indication that, let's get back to what we were doing. Again, I'm not sure what happened there because the stream was good, but I lost the connection to the stream. So how that happens, I have no idea. So, but anyway, we will, continue on here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, idol worshippers, nor adulterers, race mixers, or anybody who mongrelizes, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach and by the Spirit of our Elohim God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I want to go into the topic of lawlessness here a little bit. Elka says dropping off and then on. Yep, that's the stream was Yeah, the stream got cut off for some reason. Not sure how that happens, but it does happen once in a while. But apparently we're streaming again. And again, I will go back and edit this file for the archive copy. It'll take some work, but we'll edit out all the pauses and gaps and everything. So if you want to go back and download it and listen to it after it's been edited, it should come out better. But again, we apologize for the technical problems. And thank you, everybody, for the feedback, too. Lane and Elka and Ella all giving feedback here, so thank you very much. Good teamwork. So, again, we're in this period of lawlessness, and so we're going to look at a few of the verses of what Scripture tell us about lawlessness. In Matthew 24, verses 11 through 12, we have, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And to me, this is your mainstream Christianity, so-called men and women of God, are the false prophets. Remember, a prophet represents the father to the people. That's the job of the prophet. The priest represents the people to the father. Okay? So the prophet is to speak for Yahweh to the people. And that's what these so-called men and women of God claim to be. But they are not talking to you about the Elohim God of the Bible. They are speaking the doctrines of devils in his name. So they are false or pseudo in the Greek language. Pseudo-prophetes is a false prophet. And they many will rise and lead many to astray. So just look at mainstream Christianity today and tell me that they aren't led astray. In fact, we're going to read a quote here where the Jews brag about the fact they will use mainstream Christianity to undo this country and bring it into Jewish communism. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love or compassion of many will grow cold. Take a look around you. Tell me that's not where we're at. So, again, it goes back to that bumper sticker I saw clear back in the 1990s, many years ago, that said simply, God's law or chaos. You either live under God's law or chaos. And people say, well, I don't want to live under any law. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Well, I got news for you. You're going to live under somebody's law your entire life. You cannot escape it. You're going to live under some set of rules. You just have to pick whose rules you're going to follow. Man's law, which is chaos, which is what we have today because it's completely Judaized, or our Father's law. Okay? So instead of letting your love or compassion grow cold, just choose. Repent, in other words, of your error in following man's law and come back under our Father's law. Also in Matthew, chapter 23, verse 28, so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. That's your average person today. 1 John 3, verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Now, the church world wants you to think that sinning is having bad thoughts or lewd thoughts or looking at a girly magazine. I mean, they got a whole line of these so-called sins that have nothing to do with what our Father's trying to teach. Sin, folks, is lawlessness. Righteousness is obeying the law. Again, you have to choose, but you're going to follow a set of rules. We all do. For instance, growing up, I grew up in a very strict household, loving mother and father, but also very strict. And it was their rules that I knew I had to follow. And when I followed their rules, life was very good. It was very good. But when you broke the rules, things got pretty ugly. Pretty ugly. They were never abusive, but they made sure you understood who was in charge. And sometimes the punishment could leave you with a sore backside. So, again, there was blessings in being mindful of the laws and rules of the house. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first." And we are in massive rebellion against our Father today. "And the man or men of lawlessness is revealed." This man is singular. And then it says, "the son of destruction." To me, this man of lawlessness represents a people. Who are the people of lawlessness? And again, lawlessness means counter or adversaries of Yahweh and his law. And there's no group walking this earth that represents that more than Jews and Judaism. And this is by their own mouths, which we will read the quotes of rabbis and prominent Jews all through history who have said exactly that. It's just that you choose not to look into matters. You choose not to research anything. You listen to the mainstream propaganda that tries to tell you that these are the chosen of Yahweh. Well, they're chosen because Obadiah at verse 18 tells you what they're chosen for, but it's not what you believe them to be chosen for. Matthew 7, verse 23, "And then will I declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." Do you see how important it is not to be in the category of a lawbreaker? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers." And this includes your own family, folks. "For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Are you the light, or are you a contributor to the darkness? You have to answer that, folks. You're going to be in one of two camps. Decide this day whom ye shall serve. Romans 6, verse 19, "I am speaking in human terms because you are of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves or servants to righteousness, leading to sanctification." Again, you make your choice. Matthew 13, verse 41, "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all law breakers." No part in the kingdom. No part of the kingdom. And remember, too, this group of people will also not be in his kingdom, and that is cowards. Okay? So those of you who are paralyzed with fear, you might want to pay attention. Matthew 7, verse starting at verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." And we got many more we could go into, but you get the general idea. You could go search out the scriptures. You will find many that talk about the evils of lawlessness. Let's see what we got here. Elka says, the identity preachers and Pastor Peters openly revealed that man of lawlessness a few years ago. Have you heard any false prophet reveal these Edomites? Oh, no. False prophets aren't going to do it. That's why they lead people astray. Everything coming out of the pulpits of America today is a poison. A poison. That's why I wouldn't darken the doorstep on a whitewashed sepulcher at this time, no matter what. All right? You know, if you get time, you should go to Exodus 20, where we have an encapsulation of his law. You know, just think, if we only followed the few laws that are talked about here, there's many more, but the few laws that are spoken of in Exodus chapter 20, if we just obeyed those, maybe we'll read those here real quick and just give you an idea. Yahweh spoke all these words saying, I am Yahweh your Elohim God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Remember, this is speaking to the people that came out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage, which of course Jews will admit they were never in bondage. Okay, so they could not be these people. You shall have no other Elohim gods before me. None. None. This is where idolatry comes in. If you have something you worship more than the living God, then that is an idol. You are an idolater. You shall not make for yourself any idol or any image of anything that's in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, Yahweh your Elohim God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and on the fourth generation of those who hate me. You see the sins being passed on because of our parents, our ancestors, and showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. In other words, for those who trespass and transgress his law, he will visit iniquity even to the third and fourth generation behind. So your grandparents, great-grandparents, or great-great-grandparents, their sins could be visited upon you. Their failure to obey the food laws, let's say, which can cause defects within the body, which can be passed on. There can be mental problems passed on. You see what I'm saying? So the iniquity of the fathers can be passed on even to the third and fourth generations. Race mixes, for instance, you choose to do that, and guess what? You're going to have problems. Okay. Now, you shall not misuse the name of Yahweh your God, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath to keep it separated, consecrated to the Father. What is the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a day of rest. It doesn't mean you can't do any work. That's not what it's saying. You shall not labor, meaning you don't go to your job. That's the work it's talking about. On that seventh day, consecrated to yourself, your body, your family, and to our Father Creator. That's what it's consecrated to. This whole Jewish nonsense that you can't work, you cannot do physical labor is bullshit. Just 100% bullshit. And I don't know who in his right mind would believe that. Okay, it doesn't even make sense. So, Sabbath, Shabbat, is to restrain or refrain from doing whatever it is you do the other 6 days to make a living. If you're a carpenter, you don't do any carpentry. For profit. Okay? You rest from that because you're doing it all the time. You need a break, in other words. You need a break in the routine. And anybody that's ever worked 7 days a week, which I have back when I was a sinner. Didn't even know I was sinning because I had never been taught this. But in the Air Force, they worked us 7 days a week during the Vietnam War. Many hours each day, 10 to 12 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours, 7 days a week for months and months and months and months. I'm going to tell you, I watched what it did. That's why we had a divorce rate somewhere around 90-95% in the Air Force. I got out of the Air Force and went into the electrical power industry, and guess what? They were working us 7 days a week trying to build nuclear power plants and getting them up as quickly as possible. They were working us 7 days a week, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. So I got to see the exact same thing play out there. So it wasn't just because it was the military. In the civilian world, it had the exact same effect. We had many mental breakdowns. We had psychological problems. We had a extremely high divorce rate. And we had physical fights amongst the workers. Very stressful. Very stressful. Breaking of his law will bring about that. Honor your father and mother, for your days may be long in the land which Yahweh your God gives you. I've talked about this father and mother here. There was a person that put out an article I thought was very, very good, that the father and mother spoken of in this commandment was Abraham and Sarah. And you could even go back to Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Basically saying, honor your ancestors, who in turn honor the father. Because many parents don't deserve respect or honor today. They're not doing their job. Why would you honor a mother and father that are drunkards or abusive or perverts? Why would you do that? That violates God's law. It says not to honor such people, not even to associate with such people. And yet I've had people say, well, it's a commandment. I got to honor my mother and my father. Bullshit. If they're not honorable people, why would you honor them? Honor your ancestors who taught and lived Yahweh's law. You shall not murder. And what is murder? The taking of innocent blood. Now, when it says innocent blood, do you think it's by man's law that innocence is determined, or God's law? Do you think that baby in the womb of a mother is all of a sudden fair game to be murdered because somebody wrote on a piece of paper it was okay to violate God's law? I got news for you. No, it isn't. Innocence is determined by God's law and God's law alone. You shall not commit adultery. Again, mistranslation. This is from the Greek word mukesus, which means to mongrelize. You shall not mongrelize, which means you don't race mix, but you also don't mix your animals, breeds of animals. This idea that, well, I'm going to put my chihuahua with my Jack Russell and create a new species of dog. Really? That's mongrelization. You've just now created something that was not meant to be. Same thing with cats and horses and other animals and plants. I know people, well, I'm going to take this red rose and this white rose and I'm going to put them together and see what I can create. Trying to play God. Here we go again. Man always wants to interfere with the natural order of things. You shall not steal, which means take what belongs to somebody else. It also means don't use somebody else's property without their permission. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, which is covered by what? You shall not lie, bear false witness. No, ever. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant. Nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Remember, the Greeks had a word, doulos, and it was often used to refer to the wives and children of the head of the household. Doulos was a Greek word that meant you were somebody under someone else's authority. We use the word slave, but that's not proper usage. And it does not convey the proper idea behind being a doulos. It just meant you answered to somebody else. And actually, the men, in a way, were douloses to our Heavenly Father. So we have these rules called the Ten Commandments. We can't even obey 10 simple commandments. We wonder why we're in the trouble we're in. Oh, I have some quotes I want to read you about our infamous imposters, our Revelation 2:9 individuals called Jews today. Now, this is a quote from Thomas Barnett, a Jew, who was director of the Israeli military consultancy, Wikistrat, in his book entitled The Pentagon's New Map from 2004. The ultimate goal is the forcible coordination of all countries of the world, that they shall be achieved, and that shall be achieved by mixing the races with the goal to create a light brown race in Europe. For that reason, 1.5 million immigrants from the Third World shall migrate to Europe every year. The result will be a population with an average IQ of 90 that is too dumb to grasp anything, but intelligent enough to work. The European countries will never again be competitors in the struggle for global domination, and a multiple millennia-old culture will be destroyed. Irrational people who will fight against this, quote, mingling of the races and put up any resistance against the global world order shall be killed. That's your chosen people, folks, the chosenites. This is from the American Mercury magazine, December 1957, on page 92. The invisible money power is working to control and enslave mankind. It financed communism, fascism, Marxism, Zionism, socialism. All of these are directed to making the United States a member of a world government. See, I've told you this is an insurgency that we see going on, hiding behind a, quote, medical emergency, hiding behind medical. It's still a communist insurgency. Charles Lindbergh. I hope you remember that name. If you haven't, you must not have had a very good history teacher. Charles Lindbergh said, I felt I had worded my Des Moines address carefully and moderately. It seems that almost anything can be discussed in America except the Jewish problem. The very mention of the word Jew is cause for a storm. Personally, I feel that the only hope for a moderate solution lies in an open and frank discussion. Wow. Charles, you should take a look at us now. The London Jewish World of March 15th, 1923, almost 100 years ago, declared, quote, fundamentally, Judaism is anti-Christian. How about you Zionist Christians, Zio Christians out there, the John Hagees of the world and the rest of the miscreants that are out there spewing their lies and deception on the sheep, setting the sheep up for the slaughter. You know, I used to read scripture talking about how false prophets would lead the sheep to the slaughter, and other people would expound upon that in their writings. And I always wondered, how would they accomplish something like that? Wonder what they're talking about. Well, we're living in it. You're living in it. This is from New York Magazine, January 18th, 1972, so 50 years ago, page 32, Rabbi Martin Siegel, quote, "I am devoting my lecture in this seminar to a discussion of the possibility that we are now entering a Jewish century, a time when the spirit of the community, the non-ideological blend of the emotional and rational, and the resistance to categories and forms will emerge through the forces of anti-nationalism to provide us with a new kind of society. I call this process the Judaization of Christianity because Christianity will be the vehicle through which this society becomes Jewish." Yeah, how do you feel about that lying piece of shit behind the pulpit now? Ezra Pound told us years ago, "Get the Jews out of government and they cannot betray the nation." This is why they denounce Ezra Pound all the time. Many years ago, Voltaire, who is often quoted when he was asked about the Jews, said, "They are, all of them, born with raging fanaticism in their hearts, just as the Britons and the Germans are born with blonde hair. I would not be in the least bit surprised if these people would not someday become deadly to the human race." And in the Thayer's Greek Lexicon, talking about the Apostle John and his writings, he states exactly the same thing. So 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John, in his writings, as well as the other apostles, but John was the most prolific, he wrote of the Jews as if they were opposite of Christ and his disciples. Opposite. And that they shared nothing in common. And the Apostle John goes on to say, it was as if they sprang from an alien race. They are aliens. They have not the milk of human kindness within them. No empathy or compassion. Karl Marx, the son of a rabbi, obviously a Jew, and one of the creators of communism, said this, "Take away the heritage of a people and they are easily persuaded." Do you see that happening today? We are in the midst of a Jewish communist revolution worldwide. It's not just Russia or Korea or Vietnam today, or Romania, or any other country. It is worldwide now. And you're in it, folks. You're in this great struggle. This is a quote of the Jewish writer Oscar Levy in an article, "The World Significance of the Russian Revolution." It was not Russian. Alexander Solzhenitsyn makes that clear. It was a Jewish Bolshevik takeover. "There is scarcely an event in modern history that cannot be traced to the Jews. We Jews today are nothing else but the world's seducers, its destroyers, its incendiaries." Their words, folks, not mine. Going backwards a little bit here, I want to read Proverbs 8:8-14. "All the words in my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverse in them." And by the way, perverse means deviating from what is considered moral, right, proper, or good. "So nothing crooked or perverse in them. They are all plain to him who understands, right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction rather than silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired cannot be compared to it. I, wisdom, have made prudence my dwelling. Find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil. I hate pride arrogance, the evil way, and the perverse mouth. Counsel and sound knowledge are mine. I have understanding and power. Hallelujah. Got a few other things I'd like to share with you here. Let me check and make sure we're still broadcasting. It looks like we are. If we're not, folks, let me know. A lot of technical problems going on. This was sent to me by one of the contributors at News with Views. His name is Andrew, and he has the last Scottish last name. He just wrote this. He hasn't published it yet, and I'm going to share it with you today, so it'll come out in News with Views very soon. What I'm reporting in this paper is God's truth based on our Constitution, the supreme law of the land. I challenge any traitorous politician, bureaucrat, judge, academic, communist, or member of the parasitic, super-rich ruling class to attack a single word using constitutional facts. A majority of all federal departments, agencies, and related laws are unconstitutional and designed to enrich the parasitic, super-rich ruling class and their political followers while enslaving the people. The Constitution reserves all powers to the states and to the people, except for the enumerated powers delegated to the federal establishment for defense, foreign relations, immigration, currency, post office, commerce, and some household functions. Federal establishment has these enumerated powers only. States are sovereign governments, while the federal administration is but a creation of the states without the required powers of a lawful government created by the people. A created entity cannot possess more power or authority than its creator, and its creator cannot be subservient to its creation. Period. Hallelujah. I wish we would understand that. We have been blessed with the greatest constitution in history, but its objectives have been eroded over time by the parasitic, super-rich ruling class and their servants, our greedy and traitorous politicians. Our founding fathers knew what they were doing when they wrote our Constitution based on their negative experiences in the hellhole that was Europe, which the United States has now become. Our Constitution says that laws of the nation are to be enforced by the militia of the several states. So the parasitic super-rich ruling class did away with the militia using the unconstitutional Dick Act. The militia was replaced by corrupt and incompetent unconstitutional federal agencies that the parasitic super-rich ruling class controlled, led by the most corrupt of all, the FBI. Most people do not know that the government, the schools, the economy, energy, health, and all things corrupt are controlled with corporate money upon orders from the controlling stockholders, which are members of the parasitic super-rich ruling class of all of our largest corporations. And, of course, two of the biggest are Vanguard and BlackRock, which at the top are all Jewish, by the way. Almost everything the federal government is doing is unconstitutional for the purpose of enriching the parasitic, super-rich ruling class at the expense of the people, resulting in hunger, poverty, and deprivation of constitutional rights. In simple terms, the federal administration has no jurisdiction whatsoever unless specified by the enumerated powers in the Constitution. Translated, this means that a majority of federal departments, agencies, and their related, quote, laws are unconstitutional and lack jurisdiction over the people. All unconstitutional statutes, codes, rules, and, quote, laws apply only to their federal employees for the administration of their functions. And by the way, folks, executive orders only apply to members of the executive branch of government, federal government. That's it. So when they make an executive order and people act as if that's something we have to obey, they're foolish. Quite foolish. The people are not subject to their private foreign jurisdiction unless they knowingly and willingly volunteer into, quote, contract to receive benefits and abrogate their protected rights. Patriot writers continue to write about the countless criminal results of the government's unconstitutional and unlawful actions. I think we should concentrate on a few major actions that will take away the government's ability to steal, waste our money, wage wars for profit, and rob us through inflation. There is a simple way to accomplish much of this. Follow the Constitution and return to the gold standard as required by the Constitution. And by the way, Russia and China are doing just that. Fiat money based upon debt is being replaced by commodity-based money. Eliminate the unconstitutional, privately owned Federal Reserve Bank. The parasitic, super-rich ruling class and politicians will scream like stuck pigs, but the people will prosper without inflation, and the government will no longer be able to spend twice as much as it receives in taxes. Most importantly, you can also refuse to comply with unconstitutional laws, which is a majority of them. The federal government has no authority over education, health, energy, transportation, or anything not authorized by the enumerated powers within the Constitution. Everything I have reported in this paper is lawful and based upon the Constitution. I defy anyone to prove me wrong with facts from the Constitution. And I'll end it there. So again, Andrew will probably publish this very soon. And let me see here. Oh, I wanted to remind everybody again, we do have Skype working. If people wish to, it's a free program, load it up on their computer. We can do interviews using Skype or calls. I would like a heads up if you wish to do that, just so I can have everything set up for it as a courtesy. I was sent this by one of the folks I know. They said they read it some time ago, and as they read it, they thought of me, which is quite a compliment, so I appreciate that. This is a poem by Rudyard Kipling, who lived from 1865 to 1936. You can find it online, of course. But this is very apropos for our people, I think, at this time. Again, Rudyard Kipling, who wrote The Awakened Saxon, when the Saxons learned to hate, that's another famous poem of his, but he wrote this one, and the title of it is simply, If. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, do not deal in lies, or being hated, do not give way to hating, and yet do not look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, And so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Excellent. In fact, some of our listeners have contacted me. They have some of Rudyard Kipling's poems encased in frames and hung upon the wall. Another good idea. Let's see here. We don't have anything coming in from there. Very good. All right. So I think I covered pretty much everything I wanted to this morning. The idea is be the light in this world of darkness, because it is dark. Nobody's going to argue that. But that doesn't mean we have to give up. It doesn't mean that we let the enemy win. We are here for a purpose. We serve a living God. We serve the creator of heaven and earth. This is his realm. This will be his plan that will go forth. And you can choose this day whom you shall serve, as Joshua told us many, many years ago. Choose. It's as simple as a matter of that. Andrew's talk about the Constitution is great, but we can go one step further. Why not obey our Father? Forget the Constitution. Forget anything created by man. At the heart of it is a moral battle between evil and good. And good wins when righteous men and women decide that they will follow the moral code in spite of anything that men do, especially these wicked, evil interlopers known as Jews. They are a bane in this world to all that is good. We need to wake up. We also need to make preparations. I hope folks are doing that. They're going to try to control everything. We said this, and John Birch Society put stuff out about this in the 1980s even. The communists, when they make their move, are going to try to control energy, food, water, all the resources. So you need to know how to provide these things for yourself. The Babylonian system will control, and they will demand that you take their mark to receive anything from them. So Yahweh's forcing his children to become self-sufficient. We need each other. We need our Father above, obviously. And the resources that our Father gave us here on this earth. We do not need anything made of men. Nothing. In fact, if you truly want to be mentally sane and have a healthy body, you will resist man-made everything. Case in point, pharmaceuticals. I don't use pharmaceuticals. I've never used pharmaceuticals. And I praise the Father for putting it in my head a long time ago to stay away from pharmaceuticals. And I learned a long time ago to go natural. And I grew up on a farm that was all natural. I ate food from the garden and from the animals that we raised. Now, I went to school, so obviously at lunchtime I had whatever they fed us, but back then I'm sure it was much better than what's out there today. But at home and amongst relatives, we ate the natural, the organic. And as my Air Force dentists and doctors told me whenever I talked to them, they said, Daniel, you're as healthy as a horse. Praise Yahweh. That's good upbringing. So I know it works. And I would pray that our people would learn that we need to get back to our Father and back to his ways and forsake this whole man-made system that's out here. It's ridiculous. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to be your representatives, to stand tall and be a shining light in a world that's getting darker by the day. We know that as these things are encompassing us, And as we see all this happening, these are the very things that you told us when you walked amongst us in flesh and told us that these things must come to pass. But do not be forlorn. Do not be forsaken. Because these are the indicators that your redemption is near. We pray for that redemption, Father Yahweh, in your return to sit upon the throne. Do away with all this man-made garbage that puts people in slavery and destroys this beautiful world that you created for us here. Help us to be the servants that you want us to be and the examples that you wish we were. And to that end, Father, we ask that you walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, and forgive us our sins and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Ground deserves my all, no less for God or freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. It was purchased with the blood of patriots.
consecrated for liberty. Protected through the generations, now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Who'll answer the cry for warriors? Who will be there at the battle line? Who will lift up a prayer for courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. If I should die, shed no tears for me, for I will be among the angels who've given all to keep all free. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground.
Is the mountain too high that you're trying to climb, or the road too rough that you want to give up? I remind you today what the word would say. You gotta stand still. Wait for the rock of your salvation. He'll give you strength to climb, renewed mind you'll find in the time of your desperation. Remember Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were given a promise to have a son in their life. You know he staggered not at the promise of God. He just stood still. Waited for the rock of his salvation. He claimed those things that were not, he had not forgot, in the middle of deliberation. The thought I leave you today, Yahweh, will make a way if you don't give up. When the times get tough, just speak to that mountain. He gives strength from the fountain. You gotta stand still. Wait for the rock of your salvation. He'll be your sword and your shield. Your faith will be healed. He's the master of all creation. The end.
Can two walk together unless they agree? Said chimpanzee to snake. But will I then go your way, or you follow me? A choice we have to make. Oh no, my philosophic friend, a compromise is due. For how could you expect erect to weave a path as true, where seldomly discovering would bird or beast observe, in grass and graceful covering, in symmetry and verve, and yet to know the fleeting form of every foot that falls, and goings on of gatherings when proposition calls. But certainly I have no lovely limbs attached to me, to claw and cling on viney string, to swing from tree to tree. Oh, pity my severity, I haven't even shoes, no name of popularity, it isn't in the news. A paltry presentation of creation in the dust. If we should journey anywhere, then lean on you, I must. Together we could leave this mound and touch the nearest star. Just bow your head before the ground and we shall travel far. I'll softly slip around and grip the nape upon your neck. Embracing such a famous trip, our craft will never wreck. We'll double-cross the far and near in purity and truce, with me your better eye and ear, and you the swift caboose. So stand for me and be complete. Henceforth we may proceed, for you alone direct our feet, no matter where I lead. Oh, privilege, my apish one, how many things you'll gain to reap wherein you hadn't sown without the slightest pain, to lie in wait, negotiate, and live within a hole. It really makes me salivate to think upon the role. My darling chimp, we're so alike, enlightened and evolved, empowered in our equal right before the world revolved. I'm awfully proud, my monkey mate, of how you've taken charge. We look to your authority, minority at large. Now, I'll take care of everything while you supply the brawn, and never more an underling on persecution's lawn. The monkey scratched reflectively before the coiled wink, as if in thoughts collectively, though rarely known to think. He knelt before the serpent, but a word he never said, and heaving down a coconut, he crushed that wicked head.
Yibarecha Yahweh Vayish Marecha Yisa Yahweh Panava Ya'er Yahweh Panava Elecha Vichu Necha Yisa Yahweh Panava Elecha Vayesem Lacha Shalom. Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
In my brokenness, my time of sadness, I will lift my voice in praise to you. Time stands still as I kneel down before. Draws near like waves upon the shore. You touch me in my brokenness, in these whispering shadows I will lift the pieces of my heart.
Occupy until relieved the castles that remain, awaiting orders unreceived on grounding you maintain. Regardless of the heavy cost or lateness of the night, let not your standing now be lost or duty taken light. For yours is not the only back or first to carry weight. It falls upon the best of men, the undisclosed and great. But one thing have they all involved, in common and in trust. A man of honor lives beyond the sword declined to rust, the trickery and flattering that capture many seed, the shield that falls to battering, the body left to bleed. The columns and the parapets and treasures laid therein, in time may fall to disrepair or hands of Saracen. Do not with many others fall to happy unconcern, while dogs of darkness circle round and Rome resumes to burn. For unannounced amidst the sound are other watchers who, positioned over holy ground, are watching over you. But occupy as you have been, if it need be alone, until at last you enter in to stand before the throne.
Come on. carry on, and I will find the strength in me to prove them wrong. It isn't for the thrill, it isn't for the prize, it's all about a fight to stay alive, knowing that the dream can still survive. When you're out there on the edge, and the odds you face are life and death, you got to have the heart of a champion. When your time is running out, and everybody sees you're going down, you got to have the heart of a champion. When your back's against the wall, in the winner's circle has its price. I have learned to fight the good fight to the end. If I had to, I would do it all.